thank you. The Bible speaks of phantoms and trials in the last days, how they'll sweep through our land. But we have His assurance that through all of these trials we'll be led by His mighty hand. Manna from God will come down from above to restore and to nourish our souls. So through all of our trials and all of our fears, remember God has it under control, it's under control. Oh, don't be afraid. For the billows may roll, God Almighty hand is still in command. So rejoice in your soul. For it's under control. Now you may be like David of old, and the giant trials you may face. But just when you think you're standing alone, you'll find Jesus standing there in your place. With a stronger faith, your giant will fall. And Jesus, oh, the victory's in. So today, as back then, in this world, don't forget, remember God has it under control, it's under control. Oh, don't be afraid, for the billows may roll, God's almighty hand is still in command. So rejoice in your soul. For it's under control. Oh, rejoice in your soul. For it's under control.
God is love. They carried him every day to that same temple gate, where he would sit and beg, a hopeless man. Nobody ever thought he had a chance to walk. Oh, how they were wrong. God had a plan. Then one afternoon, two men came to the temple bearing a gift from the Lord. They told him to stand up. Soon he was leaping, shouting, I'm crippled no more. I have been healed. I've been touched by His grace, and I felt its power, and now I am changed. There's one explanation. The God of creation has done a miracle in me. Let my story be known. Let the truth be told. I have been healed. She walked through town each day. She hanged her head in shame. People would look her way. Everyone knew her doctors had given up. 12 years was long enough. They tried, but there was nothing else they could do. Then one day when Jesus was passing through town, she touched just the edge of His robe. Well, He asked, who touched me? At first she was silent, then trembling, she knelt and spoke. I have been healed. I've been touched by His grace, and I felt its power, and now I am changed. There's one explanation. The God of creation has done a miracle in me. Let my story be known. Let the truth be told. I have been healed. Oh, the power still flows from the great physician. I felt it before in my life. He's transformed my heart, my body, my soul. And some have explained it away. But I know I have been healed. I've been touched by His grace, and I felt its power, and now I am changed. There's one explanation. The God of creation has done a miracle in me. Let my story be known. Let the truth be told. I have been healed. Let my story be known. Let the truth be told. I have been healed. Yes, I have. I have been healed. I have been healed.
I just want to let y'all know that when you sing these songs and it hits a heartstring, you need to let the world know. I went through a divorce 20 years ago, And it wasn't of my choosing. I was hurt really bad. I had a heart that was so broken that the only way I could describe it was like somebody took a shotgun and just shot a hole in my heart. I couldn't figure out. I went through years of trying to figure out what did I do wrong? What could I have done different? But I came to the conclusion that I didn't do anything wrong. There wasn't anything I could have done different. But there's just one thing that I had a lot of trouble with, and it was forgiving him. And I just want you guys to know that I've had a really hard time forgiving somebody that I loved. And I thought he loved me so much. But I just wanted to let you know that song said I have been healed and I have forgiven him. I just want you to know that is the healing that God has given me. And it has been a long time coming. But my children know that how hard a time I had with this. But I can truly tell you that God healed me as he has helped me to forgive. So I just want to thank him for that.
Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good singing, good worship, and we serve a great Lord. He is the healer, amen? Now, I'm glad to be here. I miss being here. This is my highlight of the week, okay? I'd rather be here than anywhere else, anytime. And we were blessed to be able to get away. I mean, it was a business trip, but my wife got to go with me for the first time ever, and I think she had a better time than I did. But we thank the Lord she got to go. That was a highlight for me. But we got out there and I told her, I said, you know, we had one day that she was going to be off. I was going to be in meetings all day and she was going to be away from me. And the first night, I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you around and I'm going to introduce you to all the Christians. Because you know how it is, there were 168 people at this meeting. Most of them wasn't Christians. I said, but I'm going to introduce you to the Christians. And I said, I can tell you the ones that you'll want to be hanging around. And we had our first night there, and I made sure I made the rounds, and I introduced her to the people that were Christians, and one man there that I've been working with for years. He said, you know, we don't talk about it a lot. He said, but we do have this common bond. And we're saved, and we're Christians, and we believe the Lord. And he said, you know, it's times like this, I guess, that it really does matter. Because we had our spouses there, and they were going to be doing some things together the next day, and they kind of got together. I don't know about you, but I like to find out where the Christians are when I go off somewhere. You see, when I was promoted to the position I'm in now, I heard my boss, and I've mentioned this to the youth yesterday, my boss and the sales manager were off in the room over here, and I could hear them talking, and they were talking about me. And they were talking about who I was and the person I was, and they were talking about the fact that I didn't drink. And you know what they said? They said, you know, he's going to change. Just give him time. Well, folks, I hadn't changed. And I want you to understand something this morning. God has not changed, okay? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Scripture teaches us he's always going to be the same. Now, I also mentioned to the youth, and I'll tell this to you, I'm not looking for the next promotion, okay? I'm looking for what God wants me to do. Because whatever God wants is what we need to be following every day of our life. And you know, it ought to start, as we mentioned to these young people, right now. Going forward to be what God wants you to be. Now, if you got your Bible, we're going to read this morning in the book of Acts, chapter number 11. And I want to bring a message to you this morning. What is a Christian? And I want to give you seven ways that you can tell a Christian. Now, if I can get through seven, I don't know if I can or not. I'll be courteous and I'll keep my eye on the clock and just try to follow the Spirit of the Lord and not get out of hand. And you know, here's the way I look at it. We want to be said from the pulpit what God wants to be said. Amen. You know, my dad was a preacher. I mentioned this before. And growing up, he taught me, he said, son, there is a message and there is the message. And you know, what we want is what God wants, because God knows the needs of every person here in the house this morning. Acts chapter 11, if you'll stand with me, we'll just read a few verses and pray, and then we'll try to follow the leadership of the Lord and the direction that God would have us to go. Acts chapter 11, beginning in verse number 19. It says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, and with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." Now, they were called Christians first at Antioch. Now let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, we thank you for your spirit. Lord, we thank you for what you've done in this church and in this service. And God, we pray that you'd send exactly, Lord, that we stand in need of. God, we pray you'd send the words. We pray you'd send the message. And God, we pray it be delivered, Lord, through your Holy Spirit. Lord, there's nothing that I think or know that's important. But what is important, God, is that you send exactly those words, Lord, that would be needful for this hour and for these people. God, we pray that you'd prepare the hearts, that the word would find a lodging place. Lord, that your people would understand the need in these last days and times to draw up closer to you. And God, if there's anybody here that's not saved, they'd recognize, Lord, that they're not going to live forever and that they need to be saved before it's everlasting too late. Lord, we give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory, knowing that in us is no good thing, but we're only what we are by the grace of God. We thank you as we pray, and we give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, they were first called Christians at Antioch. You read some of these scriptures, and what were they doing? They were going about preaching the word of God. They were preaching Jesus. People were being saved, and people's lives were being changed. Now, when I call somebody a Christian, I'm complimenting them. Okay? Because for me to call somebody a Christian means that I have seen things in their life that are worthy to be called a Christian. But do you know the day and time that you and I are living in, that on the news and on a lot of talk shows, they're calling people Christians as a way of mocking them. They're calling them Christians as a group that is a voting group or a voting sect. You know, we're not respected or looked at in the world's eyes like we are as Christians and brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, they mock us, they make fun of us, and they may sing things like, you know, those old Christians. You know how they are. You know how those Christians are going to vote. They'll say things like they're clinging to their guns and their Bible. They'll say things like, you know, they want to support Israel. They say things like, you know, they want to have homeschooling rights and have the right to teach their children what's right and wrong. Do you know that we're being attacked today for being called Christians? You know, but I thank God that I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed to be called a Christian. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Now, here's one thing I want you to understand. I'm going to get in this message in just a minute. Every person that mocks God is going to stand before Him. Every person that mocks Christianity is going to bow before Him one day. And just like the song that they sung, they're going to run and cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of a mighty God. One of my favorite verses, and I got quite a few. And I like this one. I love to preach about this, Brother Billy. It says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every one of them. You know, sometimes I might get a little angry. I might get a little disturbed. But I'm going to be with Jesus one day. He's already got something prepared for me. We're going to have a reunion. And all of them are going to bow. And they're going to cry to a God that they didn't believe in. But you know what? It's going to be too late. Now I want to tell you, what is a Christian? Seven ways you can tell a Christian. I'm going to give you number one. You can tell a Christian by what they feed on. Now you think about that for just a minute. Now, a Christian does not feed on the world. We're living in a world today that all they want is fame, all they want is success, all they want is notoriety, and all they want is more of the world. But a Christian does not feed on the world. The number one thing a Christian's going to feed on is Jesus Christ. Now, if you go over to the book of John, chapter 6, and verse 47 to 51, Jesus himself spoke and said, he said, verily, verily. Now, what that means, that's King James, that means surely, surely. That's a promise, okay? He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they are dead. And here's what he's saying. They ate angels' food, and they died, okay? But he's given them something more than that. He said, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And then he said, and the bread that I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Now here's the story. Jesus Christ came into the world, and he lived a sinless life, and he died on a cross like a criminal, not a criminal, between two thieves, so that you and I can have life. And the bread of life is believing and receiving that into your heart and your life. And letting the way that you live be structured around following Jesus Christ as your Savior and the Lord of your life. You see, a Christian is going to have that as the number one priority in their life. They're not going to be feeding on this world. I've seen people weep and cry because they did not have the success in this world that they thought that they would have. But one thing I want to tell you is everything in this world is perishing. And it's going to be gone one day. You know, I got a son that's loading some country music onto his iPod. And I listen to some of that stuff and I say, what in the world is that? It sounds, I don't know, hillbilly rock, I guess is what it sounds like more to me than country music. But I mentioned to him, I said, son, you know, this is real country. And I mentioned something to him. And you know what he says to me? What is that? It's like we're so distant. Here's the point. The people in my generation when I was growing up that were everywhere and their name was in lights, people don't even know who they are today. Do you know that the kings, Nebuchadnezzar and the great kings of the Bible that were existent in the times of the Bible that really were more powerful than any nation today, people don't even know who they are. Because when you feed on the things of this world, you're going to find that everything in this world is passing. Yeah, over in the book of Psalm chapter 34 and verse 8, David said, he said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. That is why every person that used to be lost without Christ, when they get genuinely, radically saved, they want everybody to be saved. Because they know what it's like on both sides. Now, God forbid that we ever get to the point that we forget. And we get holy and righteous in ourselves and forget that it's about Jesus. See, a Christian is known by what they feed on. They feed on Jesus and they feed on the Word of God. Do you know in John 1:1 it says, in the beginning was the Word and the Word was God. And, you know, all things were made by Him and without Him nothing was made that was made. Okay, you know why people don't like the Word of God? It's because they don't love Jesus. That's just what I figured out. I know that's not popular. One time they asked me to give up and give a promotion for Sunday school, and I said that, and you heard grunts and movement all around. If you love God, you're going to love the Word of God. Amen? I just can't help but say it. That's just the way that it is. You ought to love God's Word. When I open it up and I begin to read it and I hear preachers begin to preach and the Holy Spirit begins to move on them, I want more of it, not less. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, people get in trouble because they don't rightly divide. And here's how you don't rightly divide. You believe one verse, but you don't believe the other verse. And you create an entire doctrine around two or three verses because you've not listened to the Holy Spirit. And you have a finite mind that's limited. And you're trying to understand an infinite, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful God. See, I've been studying my whole life. And I feel like I'm just in grammar school. You know, I mentioned to the youth yesterday, I said, you know, one thing we need to be willing to do when somebody asks us a question and we don't know, is say, I don't know. You know, sometimes y'all look at me in Sunday school, ain't that right, Brother Joe? I just tell you, I don't know everything. I just don't know it all. I'm still learning. But I tell you what, I'm still feeding on it. David said in Psalms 119:18, he said, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I don't know how I'm going to get 7 points. I may have to preach this in 2 Sundays. Come on. We were here this morning in Sunday school, and Brother Larry, he was over there in the book of Acts in the 8th chapter, and he was talking about where Philip and the eunuch was there, and he said, look at how many miracles is in the scripture. He said, how many times have you read over the Word of God? And he said, you just pass right over what God's doing. You know, how many times have you opened the book and desiring something from God, and you read something you've read time and time again, and all of a sudden God show you something brand new? Because it's alive. This book is alive. See, you know a Christian by what they feed on. Psalms 119:9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. We wonder why we got so much problem in America today. It's because we've walked away from the word of God. We've walked away from God. We've turned our back on him. And Christians need to stand up and be Christians. They need to separate themselves from the world. It's a lie. You don't have to be like the world to succeed. You don't have to go out into the world to be happy. God's got something for you. If you just receive it. Feed on Jesus and feed on the word. Number two, you can tell a Christian by what they fear. Now think about that for just a minute. I used to hear my dad say when he said, even before I was a Christian, even before I got saved, he said, I respected the house of God. He said, you know, we wouldn't go and sit in the church parking lot and drink beer and throw the cans out. Have y'all noticed out here in the parking lot how every time we rake the gravel out, somebody comes in here and just slings it all up in the grass? There's no respect for the house of God. I want to tell you something. People have lost their fear of the Lord. People don't want to hear about this, but the Bible tells us that our God's a consuming fire. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And it says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Then over here, the wise man in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. It says, let us, after he had wrote all these books, okay, after he had wrote these proverbs, here's a conclusion. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You know, we can try to accomplish all great things, but the truth is, we just need to fear God. You know, I heard a preacher say, here's my philosophy of life. He said, do right and don't worry. Now think about that. That's pretty simple. Do right and don't worry. But people don't fear God. You know, we need to fear God. And a Christian that is saved by the grace of God, well, how can it be that you can fear God? You can be the friend of God. He can be the closest thing to you. It's because you understand who he is and who you are not. I heard a guy one time come to speak at a men's conference. And he was the field goal kicker for the Atlanta Falcons. And he said, God taught me some lessons. He said, one day we were going down to, it was the Hard Rock Cafe when it was opened, and they had some type of promotion to the Falcons. And he said, I had some friends coming, and, you know, I'm this big field goal kicker. He said, I called down. We were running a little late. And he said, I told them who I was. And they said, who's that? You know, sometimes the kids will be playing music, and they'll say, well, everybody knows what this is. I said, well, I don't. I know y'all don't. He said, but I realized in my relationship with God when I got there and I had friends in from out of town, he said, I wasn't what I thought it was. You know, sometimes we get ourselves up here too far and we don't have God in his right place. What we need to do is have a honor and a fear and respect for a living God that we know we can't just live anyway because we're bought with a price. Jesus' blood paid for us to have the privileges that we have. You know, when I was growing up, my dad was a man of God. And when he told me he was going to do something, he did it. I can remember, Brother Tom, when I was a kid, I'd cut up in church. I'm going to be honest. Now, boys, y'all continue to be good. But my boys are better boys than I was. Yeah, amen. My boys are better boys right now than I was. I'd get in trouble. And my daddy would tell me, son, when you get home, you're going to get a whipping. And you know what I'd do? I'd go to sleep. I wasn't really asleep. There's been a few times he would tote me in the house and put me in the bed, and I'd be pretending to be asleep, thinking I wasn't going to get a whipping. But you know, I learned something. And I'd be listening, and my mother would say, oh, don't whip him, he's asleep. Don't wake him up, give him a whipping. I could hear every word. And he'd wake me up, and he'd spank me and put me to bed. Now, some of you, I know you think that's hard. But the Bible says you spare the rod, you spoil the child. You know, the problem we got today is some of them need their hind ends tore up, and they ain't had it done to them. Because we're too afraid we're going to hurt the little deer. The little deer is going to be ruling your home if you don't stand up and do what's right. But you know what he always did? He never did beat me. He never did abuse me or mistreat me. He knew where you were supposed to spank, which is on the bottom. And I learned a respect for him and a love for him because he was the man he said he was. But I knew if I disobeyed, what was going to happen? You know, people, Christians, you know a Christian by what they fear. You see, there's a lot of people that are claiming Jesus, Jesus, but they don't have the godliness in their heart and their minds because they're not living that way. We ought to fear God because he's God and because we're not. You see, the scripture says in Psalms chapter 14 and verse 1, says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And there's another verse in Psalms that goes right along with some of the things we've been talking about in Sunday school. It says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. We need to understand that. So you can tell a Christian by what they feed on. You can tell by what they fear. But you can tell them by how they fellowship. You know, and I want to tell you something, folks. I love Christian fellowship. I love to get together with God's people. I love it when we come over here and we have, you know, those Baptist times when we eat. You know, I still love fried chicken. We were out there in California and my wife said, I can't hardly wait to get back to Georgia and go to Cracker Barrel. We were standing out there around this little table and it was kind of dark and I was bringing her all kind of stuff. She'd just look at me. I just grinned. Some of us she ate, some of us she didn't. Went back to the room after having this great big meal. You know what she got? She got Pringles out of the drawer. Y'all know I love Christian fellowship. I know y'all love Christian fellowship. And I've learned from watching our youth, it doesn't matter what you do, they like doing it. You can have a car wash, they're going to come. You have grass cutting, I believe they'd come. You do whatever you do around here, they like being together. And you know what the good thing about it is? It's better to have fellowship among God's people than to have them out in the world with everything there is out there in the world that's wrong. See, Christians want to be around other Christians. And Christians are going to want to separate themselves from the world. And you know, that's a commandment. Doesn't it say, come ye out from among the world and be ye separate? Says it in the Old Testament. Says it in the New Testament. Now, where do they want to be? In Psalms 133, verse 1, it says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You know, I want to say this right here when it comes to that. Sometimes to have unity, you have to intentionally have unity. And what I mean by that is if you expect to have unity because everybody's agreeing on everything, you're not going to have unity. Because everybody's not always going to agree on everything. And sometimes what you have to do is surrender your will for the ultimate will of God, that the church can go forward and come together and love one another so you can be able to see good things for God. You know, God forbid that the church ever become perfect. Y'all wouldn't have me because I'm never going to be. But Christians are known by the way they fellowship. And Christians should separate themselves from the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, here's what it says. It says, be not deceived. It says, evil communications corrupt good manners. You know what that means is you need to be careful. You say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, and I'm strong, and you know, I can go anywhere and it don't affect me. I just don't believe that. I believe you can get in the wrong crowd and what happens, and all you got to do is look at what's going on right now in the political world. How many times they make you a promise, if you'll vote for me, I'll vote this way. Then they get up there and they realize that they're locked out if they don't go along with everything, and nothing's happening that's moving this country in the right direction. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. That's why I think the more that we can do in this church to bring our young people together, the more that we can do to support our youth, the more that we can do to support our different age groups in this church, the more fellowships that we can have, the better we're going to be. Because sometimes the truth is, you're closer to your church family than you are your natural family. Because if you get saved and start living right, people that aren't living right are not going to want to be around you. Amen. You know a Christian by what they feed on, by what they fear, and how they fellowship. And you can tell a Christian by what they forsake. Now think about that for just a minute. Over in Matthew 19, 29, it says, and everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. Now this word forsake in this context, it means to hate or to love less. Now here's the point. If you're saved by the grace of God, what God wants is a personal relationship with you. And the only place that God is going to accept in your life is number one. You know, here's the way I look at it, and this is the way that I know that it has to be in my life because I know who God is. God is number one. My family is number two, okay? You know, why do I say that? Because God gave me my wife. You know, I was serving Him before I met her, and I wanted God to send me a Christian wife, and I asked Him to give her to me. And then God sent us children. They're a blessing from God. They don't belong to me. They belong to Him. And I'm supposed to do everything that I'm, according to the Word of God, to raise them up, that those young boys would become men of God, that my daughter would become a woman of God, because they belong to Him. And we're supposed to raise them up, the Scripture says, in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. God has to be first. You have to forsake the world. You know, you can't be everything that God wants you to be if you're out there trying to be everything the world wants you to be. You know, sometimes I read through the Old Testament and I begin to look. And sometimes I think about people that I want to be like in the Bible. And there's two particular characters that always come to mind for me. One is Joseph. The other is Daniel. Because God blessed everything their hands touched. And the Scripture said that Daniel had an excellent spirit.
And when I look through it and I begin to study it, you know what I hear the Holy Spirit say? If you really want to be so much like Joseph, why are you trying to be like Potiphar? If you really want to be like Daniel, why are you trying to have the success of Nebuchadnezzar? And when I begin to look at it, then I have to open my heart and allow God to jump right inside and to get a hold of me and squeeze me and help me to understand there are still things that we need to forsake for Jesus' sake. We have to ask God to help us see ourselves and forsake our sins. And the question, what have you forsaken to follow Christ? You see, if you go through, and I'll give you these others, I'm not going to preach them all, but for the sake of time. But number five, you know a Christian by how they fight. And sometimes I've heard people say, well, you shouldn't use that word. Well, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12, he said, fight the good fight of faith. You go down to 2 Timothy 4:7, he said, Paul speaking of himself at the end of his life, he said, I fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, I've finished my course. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. See, we got to realize that we're in a spiritual war. You go down to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. See, the weapons of our warfare are found when a Christian gets right with God and they fall on their knees, there is something to be feared. I heard a preacher one time and he was preaching. He said he feared more the prayers, and he mentioned a lady in his church, than he did all the armies in the country. Because when you got somebody that knows how to pray, they can do warfare in the spiritual realm. They know how to fight. They fight on their knees. They fight by crying out to the Lord, and they fight with the Word of God. Remember Jesus when he was taken up to the pinnacle of the temple? And the devil showed him all these things. And this is what the devil does. What the devil wants you to do is get your eyes off the Lord and get your eyes on the world. Get your eyes on success. Get your eyes on fame. And Jesus simply said, it is written. Right here. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You win battles by prayer and simple faith. Simple faith. Believing that you serve a living God that loves you, cares for you, and He's got His hand on you, and there's nothing going to befall you that He don't have His hand on, because He's King of the universe. Number six, you can tell a Christian by how they forgive. Now think about that. We just heard a testimony of how God helped a person forgive. You know, the Bible tells me and it teaches me that we're supposed to forgive because we've been forgiven. And because we have a relationship with a living God, sometimes we can forgive and the world looks at us and they don't understand it. They don't understand the peace of God that passeth all understanding, that keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's why when they look at us and they see us in the state that we are as Christians, they say, I don't understand how you've made it through that. I don't understand how you can forgive that person. I don't understand how you can stand in the midst of this trial. It is because we serve a God that's real. We serve a God that's alive. We serve a God that gives us something greater than what we are in ourselves. You know a Christian by how they forgive. They forgive because they've been forgiven, and they forgive because they need forgiveness. You know, there are times, and I think this is important today. We talked a little bit ago, sometimes, you know, God disciplines us because He loves us. And the Bible tells us that we discipline our children because we love them. Problem today is people have lost an understanding of what that means. We got a problem in this country. Amen. You know, but sometimes what I've found is not only do I have to discipline them that when they're wrong, but sometimes I have to call them to me. And I have to get them in my lap. And I have to say, boys, Daddy made a mistake. Daddy shouldn't have acted that way, or Daddy shouldn't have responded that way. So I don't ever have to do that. Well, you're better than I am. Maybe you need to do it and you just hadn't done it. See, We need to forgive because we need forgiveness. You know, I know my wife thinks I'm perfect, but I'm not. It's going to be a rough ride home. We forgive. Why? Because we need forgiveness. Amen? Okay. And the last one. You can tell a Christian by how they finish. Now think about that. You know, the truth is, and I mentioned this yesterday when I was teaching and speaking to the youth. I started preaching when I was 18 years old. I used to get invites and I'd go preach at these youth meetings, you know, and youth services because I was a young preacher. But back in those days, don't show any pictures. But it was different. I told you yesterday they took two pictures, one of the old and one of the no hair. It was different. But the truth is, I'm not a youth preacher anymore. The truth is, most of my life has already been lived. And the truth is that I'm looking out in front of me at the finish line, like Paul did. He said, I fought a good fight, I finished my course. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me, not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. You see, a Christian is going to know how to finish because they're going to understand the need to be faithful. You want to finish strong. Why? See, when Jesus spoke to the crowd and to the disciples, he said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink my blood, you'll not enter in. They didn't understand. He was talking about the spiritual things. And the scripture says that some of them turned and went away from him and followed him no more. And then he looked at the disciples and he said, will you also go away? And here's what they said, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. We understand there is nowhere else to go. There is no other God to follow. We're on the right path. And we're going to finish strong. And we're going to be watchful. Do you know in the day and time that we're living in, you need to be looking for Jesus to come? You need to be looking for Jesus to come because in 1948, Israel became a nation. And they're coming back in groves, and because armies are compassed around them right now. Because we got a leadership in this country that says we ought to sanction Israel. Folks, I want to tell you, God's getting things lined up. And we need to be looking. You can tell a Christian by how they finish. Now what did Paul say? Paul understood, my home's not of this world. Pilgrims and strangers seeking a city to come. Sometimes we get concerned about it. Here's what I want to tell you. You're going to be satisfied. I just believe there's going to be pine trees of red clay. I can't help it. I believe when I get there, I'm going to be satisfied. I want to give you the words of a song, and then I'm going to ask them to come with the music. Song I used to sing for years. It says, someday when I've traveled my last mile here, the call will be coming for me. I'll enter the lifeboat that will be near to carry me over the sea. You know what it says after that? It says, he'll hold my hand as over death's river I go. Then safe I'll be in beautiful heaven, I know. See, there's ways you can tell a Christian. I'm glad that I'm a Christian. I ask you to rise to your feet this morning as they get ready to sing. And I want to ask you to look inside your heart. Are you a Christian? Do you know that you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior? Are you satisfied with your salvation? Are you satisfied with your relationship with God? See, the most important thing you'll ever do in your life is accept Christ as your Savior. You know, I'm to the point, I'm talking to my boys about where you're going to go to school, what you're going to do, or where we're going to live. You know, that stuff, folks, I'm just going to be honest with you, it's secondary. The most important thing is, where are you at in your relationship with God? That's number one. That's the most important thing. And if you're here this morning and you say, well, I'm a Christian, I want to ask you a question. Based on what we've talked about this morning, if you were tried, would there be enough evidence for you to be convicted? You know, we're living in a world today, we're blessed to be in America. We're blessed to be in Hiram First Baptist Church, to have this facility and to be able to preach and sing and to fellowship and worship God. ISIS just recently, 21 Christians were beheaded because they wouldn't deny Christ. You know, we've lived in the golden age in America because God has put his hand on this country. But I want to tell you something. Right now, the call is going out for somebody to accept Christ as their personal Savior. It may not happen tomorrow. You better come right now while God's speaking to you. As they sing a song, if God spoke to your heart, this is your opportunity. Would you like to know Jesus as they sing? Amen.
They carried him every day to that same temple gate where he would sit and beg, a hopeless man. Nobody ever thought he had a chance to walk. Oh, how they were wrong. God had a plan. Then one afternoon, two men came to the temple, bearing a gift from the Lord. They told him to stand up. Soon he was leaping, shouting, I'm crippled no more. I have been healed. I've been touched by his grace, and I felt its power, and now I am changed. There's one explanation. The God of creation has done a miracle in me. Let my story be known. Let the truth be told. I have been healed. She walked through town each day. She hanged her head in shame. People would look her way, everyone knew. Her doctors had given up. 12 years was long enough. Well, they tried, but there was nothing else they could do. Then one day when Jesus was passing through town, she touched the edge of his robe. Well, he asked, touch me. At first she was silent, then trembling she knelt and spoke. I have been healed. I've been touched by his grace, and I felt its power, and now I am changed. There's one explanation. The God of creation has done a miracle in me. Let my story be known. Let the truth be told. I have been healed. Oh, the power still flows from the great physician. I felt it before in my life. He's transformed my heart, my body, my soul, and some have explained it away, but I know I have been healed. I've been touched by his grace, and I felt its power, and now I am changed. There's one explanation. The God of creation has done a miracle in me. Let my story be known. Let the truth be told. I have been healed. Let my story be known. Let the truth be told. I have I have been healed.
I was 12 when I got saved. I didn't understand everything there was to know about the Bible. Still don't. I didn't get saved because I had examined all the tangible evidence and come to the conclusion that it was the right way. I got saved because I heard a preacher preaching the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit convicted my heart. And it let me know that there was a living God. You can try every religion in the world. You can keep wondering. You can keep fighting. But the Holy Spirit's what spoke to your heart this morning. And if you're here and you don't know for sure that you're saved, I'd make sure. And it's okay. It's okay to come and say, Lord, I just want to make sure. It's okay to come and say, God, I just want things to be right. See, because as long as I've been living in this house of flesh, I've proven over and over and over again that I'm not perfect. And I rely on the blood of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. We're not going to try your patience with a song other than we're going to open the doors of the church. And as we open the doors of the church, if you would like to come and be a part of this body, we welcome you to do so. God is doing great things here. And we want this church to grow for the honor and glory of God. We want to be able to see people saved. We want to be able to see our children saved. We want to be able to see people grow in their relationship with God. You can join the church by coming to be baptized. You can join the church by statement if you've been baptized. And as we sing this one verse of song, if you'd still like to pray, the altars are still open. We're going to sing one verse. Got Brent and Sandy Henderson. If y'all step up here with me. Brent's going to come by statement of faith, and Sandy's going to come by baptism. So now we have two to be baptized. I've enjoyed having them visit with us, and praise the Lord. Can I get a move? We accept them. And a second and a third. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Amen. We're going to walk to the back and we'll shake hands as you come out. And Brother Tommy, if you'd pray as we do.